Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning. In this segment, we're focusing on World Mental Illness Awareness. And so today is the 5th of July and it marks the start of the World Mental Illness Awareness Month. And we will be chatting to none other than our clinical psychologist, Mark Delaray. Mark, good morning to you and a warm welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Always wonderful to be on your station.
The pleasure is ours, Mark. And the more, we can give to our listeners, and especially with regards to awareness, the better for all of us in society, isn't it?
Absolutely so. I think the more that we know, the more that we understand, the more we can help each other.
Indeed. Mark, however, you know, what is mental illness?
So mental illness is something that I think is unseen. In some ways, obviously unseen, and in other ways, it's kind of in our face. As a society, we generally want to see something that's observable. So if you break your leg, we can see that. You can go to hospital, we can fix it. Mm-hmm. But mental health is something that we don't, it's not that observable, or people don't believe it's observable. And so mental health is something that affects the way in which we function in society. So, we always think about it as being just our emotions, but the truth is there's the emotional component, but it's kind of how are we thinking about things, how are we seeing our future, how are we seeing our present, how are we seeing what's happened in the past. And that then affects the way in which we have the energy and the motivation to move forward and to do things just in our daily life. So, I don't know if that sort of makes sense.
Definitely, Mark. So just looking at, mental illnesses, how is it determined who suffers with a mental illness?
I think that's the difficult thing is that I think a lot more people struggle with mental illness. I think we often look for something really extreme and extremely serious. But, just as we can have a severe depression, you can also have a mild depression. It's just as you can have mild anxiety, you can have severe anxiety, and all of them have different effects. And I suppose the main thing to look for, the main thing that people look for, both clinicians and society, is how it's affecting our functioning. So when it starts to affect the way in which you are able to manage yourself and to manage your daily tasks and activities, that's when those are the kind of signs that we look for.
So are we looking at mental illnesses that's curable or only treatable?
No, a lot of them are curable. Most of them, we have to start at a treatment point. And when I say curable, if you're dealing with a sort of anxiety, there's a level at which you can help the person understand that anxiety, where it's coming from, and how to manage it. So, again, anxiety is a healthy thing. You walk across the road, you want to be anxious enough to look left and right so you don't get hit by the bus. But at certain levels, it makes it very difficult to function. So you don't want to cure that, but you can help people manage it. Depression, there are certain depressions, your bipolar depressions, which are not necessarily curable, but they are manageable and treatable with medication and so. But then there are other depressions, for example, someone might become depressed because they've lost a loved one. Someone might become depressed because they have lost their job. Those kinds of things can be worked through and then ultimately cured if we can use that as an
indeed. Mark, this one thing that really stands out, and that is the fact that, there are so many different categories that falls under mental illness, basically, we're looking at depression, and you've mentioned the reasons of depression as well, which is definitely, something that is curable or treatable as well. But there's a great stigma, so people don't often, speak about the condition either, because of the stigma that is attached to mental illnesses.
That's true, and I think that's one of the biggest failings that we as a society actually have, and I talk about that generally across the world, is this fear about speaking about these things because we fear the stigmatization ourselves, and also I think because there's this mystery around, because it's not observable, that it can't be cured.
Yes.
And will be seen as a weakness. So we sort of hide that. But then unfortunately, mental health conditions are also things like substance abuse, addiction, those kinds of things are actually mental health conditions as well. So those usually come out of very often mental health conditions not being treated or helped with.
Okay. Mark, is mental health in South Africa seen and supported in the same way as any other medical condition?
I think we'd like to say that it is, but in effect it's not. That, there are many, many different reasons for that, and I suppose it would take a long time for us to discuss them all. One is that, basic medical care in South Africa was something that was not looked at before, and then it was. And so, we're talking about our TB, HIV and AIDS, child mortality, all those things were focused on. So mental health was not financed or seen in the same light as those conditions. So I think we're behind the curve, way behind the curve in terms of mental health care beds, psychiatrists, psychologists, all of those kinds of things. So it unfortunately hasn't been. I think it was an oversight basically because there wasn't the finances to start with. But now it's left us way behind the curve.
Mark, so if we speak about a mental condition, a mental health condition, at what age will a parent, notice that, something is not really right with my child, something is wrong? Is it when it is in the teens? Are there different stages, in your lifespan where mental health actually, like they say, sticks a copy eight?
Yes, you see, that becomes very difficult. I suppose mental health conditions can start at a very early age. If your child has, which you won't know as a parent necessarily, might be prone to something like ADD or ADHD, which also mm-hmm. falls under mental health conditions, then that might really start affecting them at a very, very early age. We are also seeing kids as young as 8 or 9 years old having depression and, in fact, being suicidal, even though they might not understand what that really means. So there isn't really an age where we can define that it starts. It starts sometimes at a very early age. However, generally speaking, we will start noticing those things in sort of, like you say, your 9, 10-year-old, but then in your teens, when the behavior of the child is starting to be seen as very different from the norm.
Yes.
Of course, our teenagers can be very complicated sometimes, but when you see a sustained change in behavior in your child, that's when you should start noticing, or start looking at what is really going on here.
Okay. Is it true that, that at times the schools would be referring children as well, or do they have to have permission from the parents if they detect something is wrong, maybe calling in the parents and also, provide some sort of intervention?
Look, I think it is very difficult often for the schools as yes. to what they can do. But I think it is important because, they are the ones that are observing the children during the day. So I think the important thing is if schools at least have an open policy where they
yes.
they communicate with the parents and try and keep them informed as to what's going on. It doesn't mean they have to be called into the school, but, if your child is not arriving at school, or they're not arriving at school on time, or those kinds of things, that the parents, the school should be checking in at least with the parents. I know it's very difficult,
yes.
just with logistics, but if that can start to happen, we can maybe preempt some of the things that are happening.
Mark, earlier you mentioned depression and unemployment, and I think, when we speak about COVID-19 and we're looking at depression, do you find that, there were more calls for help from people?
Yes. Look, since last year's lockdown started, we've been noticing an uptick in that.
Yes.
People are becoming more desperate, becoming more despondent, and in fact, we're finding it amongst the youth as well. People who were finishing their matric were not sure what was going to happen in the future. Kids who started university, for example, 3 years ago experienced 1 year of normal and university, and now the last 2 years they haven't actually been students as they understood it. they are even struggling with depression and anxieties now. So we are seeing a huge uptick in people looking for help, needing help.
Mark, how does mental health affect us, our country, and the economy?
So it actually has a huge impact on our economy and the country. You know, we as individuals in our own homes and in our own families and in our sort of society in general are seeing the fallout of this. In terms of the economy, I mean, absenteeism from work, probably one of the greatest absenteeisms that is unnoticed really, is anxiety and depression, because it's usually seen as something else and people stay away from work. We talk about substance use, alcohol use, drug use. Those had a huge impact on the economy, with lost productivity, people being involved in domestic violence, accidents, you know, the hospital system. So there's a huge fallout from mental health that is not being, or not, we're not able to address in the way that it's needed to be addressed.
Definitely. Mark, we're looking at, you know, the loss of a loved one. And I think, you know, when we're looking at COVID-19, we're looking at where there were families who lost both parents, plus a sibling perhaps, you know, and we're looking at those left behind, the coping mechanism. People always say, no, I'm fine. When do you, you know, advise people to get some assistance? Why, you know, be on your own and try to work through things when there is help available?
I think you should be looking right in the beginning. It doesn't mean you need to go to a therapist to see someone, but you should be talking to, hopefully, if there are other family members, friends, you know, a spiritual advisor, even just your GP if you're going to the doctor, you know. But anyone that you can, you should start speaking about it as soon as you are able to. I think when we are able to sort of talk about those things, as painful as they are, the sooner we can start doing that, the better for us. Because, again, it's a grieving process, so it's not something that's going to resolve itself immediately. And you know, it might be a year or five afterwards that you will still have those feelings, obviously. But you need to start talking about it as soon as possible to someone else that can just hear you. They don't even need to give you advice.
Okay. Mark, then, you know, is there a theme for this year's World Mental Illness Awareness?
I think from our perspective, I think different countries and so on are maybe focusing on different things. For us, you know, with our organization, the main thing is just recognizing mental health as something that is real, recognizing that mental health issues can happen from as early as, you know, early childhood up to somebody who's 80 or 90 years old. And that is something that is pervasive in our society. So we want to just say, be aware. They talk about mental health awareness, but we're saying, be aware that it is around you all the time.
Mark, you're a clinical psychologist, and you've mentioned, you know, in your field, and not just in your field, but also in your organization. Tell us about this organization of yours.
So I work for a group called Akeso, A-K-E-S-O, Akeso Psychiatric Hospitals. That is part of the NetCare group. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have hospitals in all the main areas, not just our normal surgical hospitals, but psychiatric hospitals and clinics. We work with adolescents. We work with people with substance use issues, and also, you know, other general mental health conditions. And, you know, even if you find normal NetCare hospital, you can access us through there, and there are some other lines that can be called as well.
If this advice that you would love to share with our listeners at this moment in time, what comes to mind?
I think for me, it's just, especially as families and communities, is let's just rally around each other. Let's just listen to each other, spend some time with each other, and in that way, be there for each other. You know, I think the thing that we're struggling all of us with now is we're all trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And we tend to sort of judge each other, look at the behaviors of people, rather than trying to understand where that's coming from. So I think the one thing that we can do is to try and just support each other through just being there, listening. You don't have to actually do anything, buy anything. Just be there for your family members and for your friends.
Like you said, don't judge, but rather be supportive.
correct.
If there's a number you want to leave with our listeners with, I know that we'll be doing a series with you as well, and I'd love to get more information and just getting into the nitty-gritties of it all and the different, because we when we look at mental wellness, you know, there's a vast topics as well as you know, certain conditions that you probably need to highlight a little bit further as well. So for our listeners can be tuned in thinking, you know what, I need to get in touch with this guy Mark Delaray. How do they do it?
They probably won't get in touch with me directly immediately, because I'll be too busy, I suppose, but our helpline for a CASO is 0861 435 435. So 0861 435 435.
Lovely.
And if you just Google a CASO clinics, AKESO, it will pop up on our website, and there's many different routes you can follow there.
Most definitely. And this is a helpline that is countrywide?
It's countrywide. That helpline is countrywide, and it's toll free.
I must say a big thank you, Mark, for speaking to us this morning and just shedding some light. And I think lots of our listeners tuning in this morning can benefit greatly from this number and information that you have shared with us. All the best, and have a great Monday.
Thank you. You're most welcome. Thanks very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Well, that helpline once again is 0861 435 435. That is the helpline for a CASO. Do call them if you feel the need to speak to them.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.